శ్రీల భాగ్యాచార్య అరవింద్ భక్తి వినాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ బృందికి ఇస్కాండి బీతి సాండోచార్య దివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి నామాచార్య శ్రీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రిన్స్ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభునితనంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గ్రధార శ్రీవాస్ సరిగోడ భక్త వృందికి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుంద రాధాకుంద గిరి గోవదానికి శ్రీ వృందావన్ మిత్ర ధామకి శ్రీ ద్వారక ధామకి శ్రీ జగన్నాథపురి ధామకి శ్రీ నవదీప్ మాయాపూర్ ధామకి శ్రీ మాయాపూర్ చంద్రదేవ్ మందిర్ కి గంగమయ జమునమయ కి తులసి విభక్తి రేవికి హరినామ సంకీర్తానికి సమవేత భక్త వృందకి ట్రాన్స్‌సెండెంటల్ బుక్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్ కి జయ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా మాధవ అష్ట సఖికి జయ శ్రీ శ్రీ గోనితాయికి జయ శ్రీ పంచతత్వకి జయ నితాయ గౌడ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ టు శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద
I'd like to thank everyone for coming for the third day of the Varnashram seminar. We're going to start off this morning with module 9, which is entitled The Five Principles of Education. And this talk is going to be given by Bhakti Raghava Swami.
So as the papers are being distributed, you can take a few minutes to just read it very quickly. We'll start in about 1 or 2 minutes. Hare Krishna. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As mentioned a few minutes ago by Sambha Prabhu, we are entering our third day of the seminar. Yeah, Maharaj is coming. And As we were mentioning both yesterday and of course the first day when we started our Varnashrama seminar series, today is essentially dedicated to the theme of education. We have two PowerPoint presentations to make, the first one being Varnashram education, and later on in the morning, in one of our, actually during the third module, Madhava Prabhu will be giving a presentation on rural technologies, which we should understand as being part of non-formal education. We'll be covering some of these terms. Basically, education is... education is, especially in modern society, we all know, either from personal observation or by personal experience, education is a very much discussed topic and involves most governments around the world. And it's very, very important for us as devotees, and that is one of the main purposes, actually, of this conference. We have purposely chosen the title Varnashram Education to underline the importance of education, the scope of education, and how education is, as mentioned, as you can read here, life in the Vedic context, life is education, education is life. Some very, Srila Prabhupada many, many times spoke on the topic of education. Very famous quotations are there whereby he very clearly points out how modern education is simply in this, the same way as we are sending animals to be killed in the slaughterhouse, modern education is slaughterhouse for young people being brainwashed in everything other than Krishna consciousness, basically. So the more we understand the basic principles and the basic concepts of education, immediately we'll be able to see how, let's say, the shortcomings of modern education. And this is extremely important for us as devotees and within our ISKCON society also, because education, from the very beginning, we know, Srila Prabhupada introduced Gurukul in Dallas, Texas, and had great expectations, great hopes for us as a society to provide real, solid, and complete education. And it needs to be, actually, education, we should know, cannot be discussed outside of the realm of Varnashrama. So what I'd like to do is, I'd like to take everyone through this PowerPoint presentation. We can, yeah, close the lights so we can see more clearly. And Varnashram Education, that is actually the title of the book that we are putting out today also. And let's just move along as we present. There are about 30 slides or so. In addition, we have a few tables to also show. What is Varnashram education? Varnashram education refers to the systems of Varna and Ashrama as a self-contained educational institution based on the Vedic teachings which lead individuals and society at large towards the perfection of life, which is both individual and social emancipation. It takes into account the fullness of the living entity, fulfilling his physical needs, his emotional needs, intellectual and social needs, as well as his spiritual needs. So naturally this is tying in with one of the presentations yesterday given by Jiva Tattva Prabhu, right? Naturally it has to address, you know, education has to address and cover all of this. Continuing in our understanding of what is Varnashram education, Varnashram education actually needs to be agrarian based. This system of Varna and Ashrama is best practiced within an agrarian based society where life remains simple and time can be given for self-realization. Economic development no longer remains the main obsession or preoccupation of individuals and society, as is the case in modern society. One should not wrongly conclude, however, that automatically individuals will become poor and that society will revert to primitiveness. Traditional village life was valued and still remains ideal in all respects, including the material aspects. We've heard during the last couple of days some short references or quotations from individuals, particularly from those who visited from England, India, and were astounded to see the quality of life at that time and how people were living just a few hundred years ago, and how people were very polite, very respectful, and in those days especially, more so than at present, the vast majority of people, larger number of people, were living in the villages directly. Another aspect in regards to what is Varnashram education. Varnashram education of course means Varna and Ashrama. So Varna education, what is Varna education? Varna education, this is a very important concept, is based on aptitude-based learning, which leads to aptitude-based occupations. Has nothing to do with birth or any other. I mean, the essential point is that according to one's natural tendencies and aptitudes. Second point, Varna education is either formal, generally for the twice born and within a Gurukul setting, or non-formal for those not receiving the sacred thread within, let's say, vocational training. I should clarify, however, that even, we touched on this a little bit yesterday, even non-formal education in some cases could involve a kind of Gurukul setting. We were mentioning how I was giving the example of Bali in Indonesia, how someone who may learn how to carve, because they're very good artists in Bali, then they may go and live with some other family, you know, some uncle or someone in the community, in the village, and they'll stay there until they, you know, they could stay for quite a few years. So that's a kind of a Gurukul setting, you see. So one important thing we should keep in mind, I mean, this was pointed out by one of my godbrothers a few months back, we generally have the understanding that Gurukul is directed and, you know, by people who are sannyasis. But in the Vedic culture, the majority of Gurukul, or many of the Gurukul, were headed up by grihastas, or someone would just live in somebody's home, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, that is how it is described. A householder. And there, and for this reason, Narada Muni gives specific instructions to those who are brahmacharis, living in that kind of grihastha situation, that if the wife of the guru or the teacher is very young, then one should be keeping one's distance like that. Although one regards both the spiritual master or the guru, the teacher's father, and regards his wife as mother, still, if the that particular instruction we read, if the wife of the teacher is young, then the disciple should be cautious and not so closely be dealing with her. It's very interesting. I was just reading in one purport this morning, the Bhagavatam, in the seventh canto, how Srila Prabhupada explains that the basic principle of spiritual life. Maharaj, can you give me this book? I'll just read it directly. It's close by here. Yes. This is from the seventh canto, chapter number 12, in the section, four spiritual classes. This line just came out when I was reading it. The injunction restricting association with women is the basic principle of spiritual life. Not allowing free mingling between boys and girls, between men and women, is the basic principle of spiritual life. And that was, of course, very strongly advocated within, let's say, the Gurukul setting. So, Varna education can be either formal or non-formal. And then the last point also, and we may need to spend a little bit of time on this, Varna education is meant for boys. We touched on this a little bit. Those of you who have read the conversation that Srila Prabhupada had with some of his disciples in the context of Varnashrama College, right? Varnashram College. At one point, one of the devotees, maybe Satsarup Maharaj, someone, asked the question, will this be open for girls? Prabhupada says, no, Varnashram College is for boys. Within Varna, we touched on this a little bit yesterday. Varna, when we understand it as a lifelong profession, this is directly connected with what we read a few minutes ago. If one has a profession outside, means he has to intermingle. He has to exchange with all kinds of individuals, especially a Kshatriya, for example, a manager, administrator. Even Vaishya has to deal with different individuals. Brahman is also. So that was, I mean, traditionally meant for men. And therefore, Gurukul traditionally, this is interesting because there's a seems to be a marked difference with, like, in Indonesia. There's a second PowerPoint which I'd like to show after this one, dealing with the same theme, and this was a study I had taken up actually some few years back when I was doing some postgraduate study, comparing the traditional Gurukul system in India with the traditional Islamic system in Indonesia, which 500 years ago was actually Vaishnav or Hindu. We'll come back to that. One of the main differences there is that actually they have naturally separate, but they have what we could say Gurukul just for girls. Yeah, we'll come back to that later. So on this third point, Varna education is meant for boys. Maybe by the end or at the end of the presentation, I'd like to read one section also of the chapter 11 of the seventh canto, which is dealing with the varnas, right? Chapter 11, perfect society, the four social divisions, the four varnas. And then chapter 12, of course, from which we just read a few seconds ago, is dealing with the ashramas, beginning with like Brahmachari ashram. So in that chapter 11, Narada Muni speaks on varna, and then after speaking on varna, speaks about the duties and occupations of women. I think it's important that we bring this up, so I'll just save that for a little bit later, because just recently I was reading, I generally don't go on, what is it, dandabats.com, so often, but there was a recent article which caught my attention because the word varnashram was in the title. Possibly some of you have read it. I forget the full title, but it's quite recent, maybe within 1 week or 2 weeks at the most. And there was a statement being made there that actually it is not mentioned in the Shastra what are the occupations for women. So I'll leave this up in the air right now, and we'll come back to that. So just moving along here. What is ashram education? See, it's important that we should see and understand both varna and ashrama as education, or within the context of education. Ashram education teaches phased lifelong learning, from gradual awakening of consciousness to full self-realization. So the whole beginning of training is in the Brahmachari ashram. And then depending on an individual, one may either remain within the Brahmachari ashram, or one may directly go to the sannyas ashram, or generally those who have more of a need for regulated sense gratification. Prabhupada says, householder life, grihastha life, is not a license for sense gratification, but regulated sense gratification. Those who have more of a need for that, then the Vedic culture recognizes, and the householder life is there, with the idea that gradually that need for sense gratification can be reduced and then given up, so that one takes vanaprastha, etc., and then sannyas. And then number two, ashrama is determined by one's varna. We covered that yesterday, right? The chart that depending on our varna, then that will more clearly establish or determine what will be our ashrama. So this is in connection with what is varnashram education. So basically that education is based on these five pillars. Very, very important. We've summarized that and given it to you on the paper that we distributed. What are those five pillars? Well, we've just put them using these terms. What is the definition of education? What should be the disposition of individuals who will be taking up, either giving, presenting, offering, sharing, or receiving? You see, knowledge. Actually, education and knowledge are intimately connected. We'll see this as we define more in detail these different terms. Delivery. Delivery means how and where education is meant to be delivered, presented, given, you see. And then the design. What should be, design actually refers to curriculum. From where do we get this, the knowledge that we will be giving? And then the direction, what is the ultimate direction? Or purpose, what is the goal of education? Right? So we begin with one definition. Actual education means the simultaneous cultivation of jnanam, phenomenal and vijnanam, numinous knowledge, through formal, non-formal, and informal education. So this is directly actually quoting from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse number 2. This is extremely important. Of course, we don't have any difficulty with this, but many people do. Those who are not into spiritual life, those who don't believe in God. So, in other words, for us, we cannot speak of education, or we cannot transfer education or knowledge unless those two levels are covered. Unless, Prabhupada gives that definition also in one of the purports. Education or knowledge means knowing the difference between matter and spirit, the origin of both, and the interaction or relation between them. That is knowledge. And, of course, the highest manifestation or form of that knowledge is given in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitram, Vidamutamam, Pratyakshavagamam, Dharmam, Susukam, Kartam, Avyayam. Only that kind of knowledge can make one fully happy and satisfied. And that comes up actually in the Bhagavatam in many places. How Yayatma Suprasidati. Atma, not only the soul, but Srila Prabhupada specifies when quoting or referring to these different instructions that we find in the Bhagavatam, where the word Atma is used, that it refers to the body, the mind, the soul, and everything. In one purport, probably, he just mentions it means everything. Atma means everything. So, unless these two elements are there, then it is we cannot accept it as education. So that's why, to a large extent, one of the main reasons, rather, why modern education is so faulty, because that whole spiritual dimension or element is missing. Disposition. So we have a few slides on this. A correct education, or we could say a perfect education, entails that both the teacher and the student must demonstrate specific traits and thus must be qualified. What are those qualifications? That is all given in our Shastra. What is a qualified teacher? A qualified teacher must display the nine basic qualities.